So let's open with a question this morning. When is the last time you said yes to God? When is the last time, not your neighbor, not your wife, not your husband, not the person you don't want to be anywhere near, but you said yes to God? In many ways, that is the Advent question, the overarching question associated with Advent. And of all the gospel writers, Luke does the best job of helping us reflect upon it and perhaps act upon it. And this is how he does it. Luke spins the story of the day when Mary shows up at the home of Elizabeth. Now, how she got there, well, no one really knows. It's about a 90-mile trip. Not an easy trip for a young woman who's found out that she's expecting in a day when you basically walk or ride a donkey. I suspect that Joseph and her parents play a role in her decision to go there. I expect they play a role as they try to absorb and work through the news that she has given them, this unexpected news of her pregnancy. I very much doubt that either Joseph or the parents of Mary want their village friends to know that she's pregnant at the moment. I very much suspect that they want her to clear out of town for several months for the sake of her safety, and in that era, their reputations. So sending Mary off to stay with an aged kinswoman just seems like a good way to buy time for everyone. At any rate, Mary, who by then may well be experiencing morning sickness among other joys of pregnancy, and beginning to feel the social and personal price she is going to pay for all of this, at any rate, she arrives in the hill country. And she goes to the house of Elizabeth. She enters the house. And she greets Elizabeth. And the old woman surprises her by replying with these words, quote, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I want you to try with me to imagine the impact of that greeting. I doubt very much that Mary had heard anyone call her blessed in recent days. I'm almost sure that no one, parent, Joseph, anyone, had called the child growing within her blessed. In fact, I can only imagine the first words her parents spoke when she told them that she was pregnant with the Son of God. From Matthew's gospel, we know that Matthew was not at first impressed with the story that she told. I rather doubt that he spoke words of blessing, but Elizabeth does. Elizabeth speaks words of blessing. She does so because, like Mary, Holy Spirit has been at work in her life so that she who has been barren is now expectant with her own child. And in fact, she's about 6 months into her pregnancy with John when Mary shows up. So Luke spins the story of two women, one rather elderly, one quite young, both of whom are expectant because each of them has said yes to God. And they settle down for a long talk. As it turns out, Mary stays for 3 months, which probably is just long enough for her to be present at the birth of John and to see with her own eyes proof of God's blessing on Elizabeth and on her. Then she goes home. By the time Mary returns home, she has a well-developed baby bump, and she also has a faith strengthened by her experience with Elizabeth. Mary is ready to face whatever she has to face in order to bring her child into the world for the blessing of the world. Both Mary and Elizabeth say yes to God. No one in their inner circles and no one in the larger circles of the world knows it yet, but in only a very few years, their consent will start to change the world. All of that is Luke's way of saying to folk like you and me in our time, saying yes to God matters. saying yes to God actually matters. Mary and Elizabeth know this is so. They've grown up hearing the stories of other people who said yes to God, taking those stories to heart, learning to believe those stories. They have a repertoire of stories in their mind of their ancestors who said yes to God. You know, they know the story of Abraham and Sarah, whose yes to God spawned the people of God. They know the story of Moses, whose yes to God frees God's people from Egyptian slavery, forges them into God's followers, and brings them right up to the edge of the promised land. They know the story of a woman named Esther, whose yes to God saves the people of God from extermination. They know the stories of the prophets, each of whom said yes to God and so became instruments in the hands of God. And they know the story of Ruth. They know the story of that woman, Ruth, whose yes to God launches the line of descendants which in time lead to King David and in more time lead to Joseph, her troubled husband in the making. They know their stories. And because they know the stories of the people of faith who have come before them, they are able to believe their response to God's call upon them matters. They're able to believe that one person's yes, just one person's yes, holds the potential to shake a kingdom or save a life or save an entire people or bring blessing to the world. Saying yes to God matters. Saying yes to God matters for us, for you, for me. You know, you're always in the process of becoming what you're going to be. You do know that. Every day, every month, every year of your life, you are becoming more and more whatever it is you are going to be. Saying yes to God or saying no to God shapes us into persons, the persons we ultimately become. So, when we make a habit of saying no to God, we start to become people who increasingly are deaf to God's voice. People who increasingly are unable to see or even imagine that God might be present in our midst and working in any given moment. We become increasingly people who are set in patterns of thinking and acting, which have almost nothing to do with the goals of God. But when we practice saying yes to God, the opposite starts to happen. We become more aware of God's presence and work in the world and in lives around us. Each time we say yes to God, we become a little more nearly freed from self-absorption, self-indulgence, callousness, and even self-protection. And we become a little more able to practice self-giving love. I don't want us to leave here today without coming to grips with a hard fact. Our yeses and our noes to God define us, make us who we ultimately will be. So never doubt that saying yes to God matters. Saying yes to God matters to a congregation as well, a gathered church in a given time and a given place. I want you to try to imagine a congregation filled with people just like you and just like me, people who consistently say yes to God. I think if you have such a congregation, increasingly all of the so-called wars and conflicts that actually inflict themselves upon many a congregation in our United States began to lose their importance. They began to lose their claim to importance. All these conflicts over worship, schedule, resource sharing. You ought to hear in any given church what wars can break out over where 12 chairs will be kept. All these little wars that break out over creeds and confessions, every single one of which is human written. All these little wars that break out over personal comfort zones or who's in and who's out. Listen, when a congregation is filled with people who are consistently saying yes to God, those little wars start to fade away. They pass into memory, and they become nothing more than examples of what we choose not to be. Can you imagine a congregation in which all the gifts and all the skills of all the members are actually brought to bear on the worship of God? On prayer, on speaking and being good news to other people. Can you imagine a congregation in which everyone is trying to say yes to God and so increasingly are drawn into self-sacrificial service? Can you imagine such a congregation? Now, don't go out and start looking for one because it doesn't exist. But it can. It can. The more often you and I say yes to God, the better able we become to build such a congregation. Our saying yes to God matters for us, it matters for the congregation, and it matters to our neighbors. It matters for our neighbors. In fact, the more we say yes to God, the more we come to see all kinds of persons as neighbors. All kinds of persons with no exception. The more we say yes to God, the more our neighbors, in fact, come to seem to us to be fellow children of God, whether or not they know it at the moment. The more you and I say yes to God, the more we start to speak of others with respect and with kindness. And the more we make room for others in our lives. And when we do this, Christ-honoring things start to happen. It's simply amazing. When we say yes to God on a consistent basis, well, sooner or later, fewer neighbors go hungry because they're neighbors, they're family. Sooner or later, fewer people stay homeless. Sooner or later, fewer people endure sickness without treatment. Sooner or later, fewer people suffer imprisonment with no one caring. And sooner or later, fewer people experience God as rebuff or hatred. And instead start to experience God as love in action through us. That's what happens when we start consistently to say yes to God. So back to that question of the day. When is the last time you said yes to God? Maybe today will be the day you say yes to God for the first time. That's a good thing to do. Maybe today will turn out to be the day when you return to the practice of saying yes to God, discover how rusty you are at it, knock off some of the rust, and get better at it. Might today become the day when you join other folk like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Esther and Ruth and Elizabeth and Mary in saying yes to God. Today can be that day. Make it so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make the day you say yes to God. I'll be coming and taking my place here at the front of the congregation. Maybe you're being led today to say, yes, I want Christ as my Savior, my Lord. And we'll be here to help you learn what that means. Maybe this is the day you decide, this is my church home. This is where I'm going to grow in Christ and serve Christ. I'll be here to help you walk through that decision. The most important thing you can do today and tomorrow and each day is decide today, I will say yes to God. Pray with me. Now, Lord, in this moment set aside for such a purpose, we ask that you help each of us to examine our own lives. Grant us strength of will and clarity of vision enough to see our way forward saying yes to you. For this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.